So, Matt, if you're going to cosplay a Logan at Compalooza, why the new Pro Hammer haircut?
Because this is the new Logan. This is like New Mutants 2018, where Logan is like, "What's up, bro?"
Logan from Jersey Shore.
And he says, like, "Bet." You know, like, all the time. Bet.
No, Hugh Jackman should kick your ass for cutting a haircut like that and we're dressing as Logan.
Yeah, Hugh Jackman would probably just do that anyways, just for shits and giggles. For shits and giggles.
I'm pretty sure if anybody could kick your ass with that haircut.
And now we have to act like we know this guy at Compalooza.
Yeah, unfortunately, he'd probably wear a shirt with us on it.
I've already ordered a shirt. It says, "My best pals, Frank and Mark."
No, what scares me is, like, one of us will be on the front and the other one will be on the back of the shirt and he'll have his dream of being the sandwich in the middle.
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
That's just scary.
No, it's too far. I'm going to have to cancel that shirt now.
Oh, wait, it may like that.
Welcome to a new episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast, the last podcast before Compalooza 2018, and we are getting ready, geared up for it. This is Mark.
This is Matt.
This is Frank.
And we are just, it's Sunday, so we're 5 days away, in which we'll be recording again at Compalooza. Our live show is on Friday at 3 o'clock, right?
Something like that.
Yeah, 3 o'clock.
In the 3 range.
And at the podcast booth, which we don't know where it's at yet at Compalooza.
Somewhere on the
floor.
We're
going to be recording live, and we're going to be recording... The movie we're doing is Big Trouble in Little China, which we're going to talk about later in the show, as we always preview the next movie that we do. And we are excited, ready for it. It's our big event for the year.
Yeah.
We always have a good time. Some of us try to be poops about it, like, "I'm only going to go on Friday and stuff."
But I'm going probably Saturday. Well, I'm Matt's ride.
Yeah.
So I kind of got to go Saturday, or otherwise he's going to be like, "I can't make it till 3 o'clock.
He'll go Sunday, too.
It's true.
I know he will.
He will. He will come.
Because he'll want to hang out with his bros. And plus, we might have Sunday plans, so you better be there.
And Jackie,
I probably will.
Jackie's going to be dressed as Deadpool in a tight spandex Deadpool suit with swords.
Liar.
That's true. I ordered it. Someone ordered a costume, like a nice one, and it was the wrong size, so they sold it for half price, and I bought it.
Yeah, I think he's just lying to us to get our hopes up high.
It's true.
Well, I've seen her in her Catwoman outfit before, so.
It's true.
But yeah. Still, that's what I mean. Like first Catwoman, now hot.
Now she's in red. You saw her in black. Now she's the lady in red.
Yeah, but is it going to be like cleavage-filled Deadpool?
Oh, yeah. It's gonna block the cleavage. You're just going to see curves.
Can you just like cut this? Cut.
Be like, oops.
Put a little cut right there. You know, he has blades. They might like slip.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good thing she never listens to the show because Matt would be a dead man.
She listened once.
I got a funny little joke. So I didn't get to tell you the last time we were having our bro date, I was over at his place.
Yeah.
And his wife brings up the fact that when you stare at boobs, it helps. What is it?
It relaxes you.
So she wasn't paying attention. And I look at Matt and I go, "Your wife's helping me relax a lot right now."
And she didn't get it. It just flew past her. She's like, "Huh? How?"
Yeah. She's like, "How am I helping?"
You're lucky you walked away from that one.
I mean, she says it that she totally misses the joke.
Anyway, that's so Compalooza 2018 is our 10th anniversary, so
yeah.
Big show for him. You know, we have Tom Holland's going to be there, Charlie Cox, who plays Daredevil, Kristen Ritter, who me and Matt are going to be in the presence of on Saturday.
Yes.
We're going to be in the same little photo booth.
Oh, my gosh. If she knew what y'all's dirty little fingers text about her, I don't even think y'all would get close enough to be able to take a picture with a long lens.
Maybe she's into that.
Yeah, maybe she is into that.
I don't know, y'all.
Maybe she's like fanboy.
I mean,
too.
Y'all use y'all's hands to prepare food, and y'all text that kind of stuff about her.
Yeah,
there's a thing they created called soap, so it's okay.
I don't know, man. Y'all,
for Frank,
I think y'all have to put y'all's hands on a burner just to get that off.
We're probably gonna allow the wives in there because, like, Mary's like, "You're not taking food with Jessica Jones without me." I was like, okay, that's all I said.
Okay.
You know.
What about your wife, Matt?
She gonna squeeze up in her? My wife is going to be chilling in the hotel whenever
really?
At that point. She's only going on Sunday.
Sunday. I thought they were coming Saturday.
She's not a huge fan of Jessica Jones. She likes what she saw, but she never
got into
finishing it. She would be more into like probably taking a photo op with Rufio, which I thought about getting her one with Rufio.
Rufio.
I don't know who that is.
I still
Robin Williams Hook.
I that movie sucked.
He comes back and he's not Panya. Rufio is the leader of the Lost Boys.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, now I remember who that is. Yeah. But you would have to, like, say some of the other stuff, because, I wasn't a big fan of that movie.
No idea who that was.
Recently. Love Robert Williams, but, I wasn't a fan of that movie.
Who's that guy who played Hook there? He was in Rain Man with...
Dustin Hoffman.
That guy that, is famous.
I hate Peter Pan!
Dustin Hoffman. So what's the point?
See, I like Peter Pan, but I like it crunchy.
You just talked about putting Peter in your mouth. Pans Peter. In your,
I'm pretty much stretching it.
Extra nutty.
Yes, extra nutty.
You know what's cool is I forgot to mention, there's several cast members from Lost are going to be there. And Lost was a... Whether people agree with the ending of the show or any of that, it doesn't matter. Lost was a huge phenomenon.
Up to the ending, it was really good.
It was a huge phenomenon for 5 years when it aired on TV. I mean... It was must-watch TV. Lost was the days before streaming. Netflix existed then, but it wasn't what it is now. And, as people on Sunday nights were tuned in, they wanted to know what was going to happen to Jack and Hurley and the rest of the members and Locke and the rest of the members of that crew. And it was a big thing. People had parties for the season finales and the season premieres. And they were glued every week to what was happening to Lost. So it's cool to see some of the members of the cast are coming together for... kind of a quasi 10th anniversary of Lost, as I think it was 2008 when it first started airing.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, they weren't able to get any of the big members like Jack or Evangeline Lilly or the guy who played Locke, but they still have some important members of the cast. And I think that's really cool. And I'm going to give a shout out to my friend Mark Nasso, who we all know, and he has a VIP print in the VIP bags of art he did for Lost, and he also has one of the badges with his Lost art. So go by his table at Compalooza and see Mark and buy his Lost print. It's really cool if you're into that show. So I'm going to give him a little shout. So I think that's some actors we did not mention that were at Lost. And of course, MC Gainey, who was in Lost, who always will be remembered for his famous line from Con Air, "Hang on to your butts."
Oh, yeah.
Famous in my mind. Samuel L. Jackson might have made it famous first in Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
I always remember Con Air.
Yeah, me too, because most of the time, whenever we're shooting across an intersection or taking a tight turn, Marco scream out, "Hold on your butt!"
So, Compalooza, any other things you are looking forward to this weekend?
Oh, man. Seeing what kind of panels are there. If any other voice actors pop up,
Speaking of panels, I'm on a panel set Friday night at 6:30, representing Rebel Radio Podcast. It's a bunch of different pods, I guess. And they had asked me, and I didn't really know whether I was on it or not. And then all of a sudden, I got an email saying, "Oh yeah, you're on this panel."
So unfortunately, that means we got to wait till 8 o'clock to start drinking.
So, that's in room.
Drink a little before
room 350.
You and I can. That's bitch.
Room 352C is where the panel will be at, and it's going to be me and unfortunately, I don't remember
bunch of other podcasters.
I know one of the guys from the Nerd Foo and some other shows, and it's the official Compalooza Podcast Partnership panel. We're going to be talking about podcasting. So come see me at the show and at the panel. And at the panel, Frank and Matt will be there, and Frank will have our raffle tickets, and Matt for our giveaway we're doing on Sunday. We're thinking about 3 o'clock we'll do the drawing. And so come find us at Compalooza, and Frank and Matt will have the raffle tickets and sign for a giveaway. We have two giveaways. They're Star Wars swag bags. We have a dark side and a light side with some cool Star Wars stuff in it. So that's going to be a little giveaway, something to promote that we hope people enjoy.
Yeah.
So that's at Compalooza. Any other thoughts as we get ready for Compalooza 2018?
Can't get here soon enough.
I have a thought. 1 year, I would like just Mark to dress up as something for once.
Not happening. But next year, I think we're going to plan our own panel of some sort for the show.
No, come on. Just one time.
We were kind of busy rebooting the show this year, and we didn't really have time to plan a panel, but next year I think we're going to do some sort of panel.
I want to do a movie. A short film?
Well, that costs a lot of money. So
No, we're just going to, use a video camera that
use
you have.
Use our YouTube, and then you'll be like,
Hello. Mark could do all the editing.
I am Frank. And then we'll just have different positions that you sleep in. And no. then it'll be, and then boom, the end. And it's art. People wonder what the heck they just saw.
No,
and
it's, I know.
I'm like, it's art.
It's not going to happen, but fart. Mark could actually write pretty good. And I would love for him to write a short story.
I'm not that good at editing, though.
But I'm not talking to just that, but I'm just saying, like, I've read some of your short stories. They're actually really good. I would almost like to do a small one.
Yeah, right cheek's feeling good. Just kissing it there.
No. 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 And why is it your right cheek? I like how he specifies the right cheek.
Because it's in your direction.
Yeah, but right. Maybe my lips could reach around to the left cheek. You never know.
Oh, don't be reaching around nothing, man. All right.
Is Frank strategizing? Are you strategizing on how you can kiss?
No, I'm just saying. Hey, you never know.
We record Friday. You're sitting between us. Because, yeah. I mean, I don't.
See? Mark wants you as this meat sandwich.
Oh, no. He just,
I knew that.
Right. It was Mark that was fantasizing that.
Let's get into this show. All right. So download this. That's how we always start the show. What have you guys downloaded, watched, streamed this week?
Supernatural. I finished watching season 11, and I
that
started.
Show's still on.
Yeah, dude, it's still on. I started watching Yu Yu Hakusho. I'm about halfway through on Yu Yu Hakusho.
Man, you have a lot of time. Just go through these shows like that.
Yeah, dude. It's easy to binge whenever you're off for like a month. You know.
So I binge and purge. I forget half the shit I watch.
That's called old age.
Yeah. Oh yeah. What? What were we talking about?
What have you downloaded, watched, streamed this week, Frank?
Finished watching the rest of Lost in Space, the new series, and then of course I like fall way behind on all the superhero stuff
good
on Netflix.
Things about Lost in Space.
I liked it.
I heard it starts off a little slow, but you get to like the third or fourth episode, it picks up.
Actually, picks up about the second episode. I really liked it. Actually, the first episode, it just starts
I've heard
off.
Every episode's cliffhanger heavy though.
You know, I heard it got picked up for a second season, yeah. So that's good. I'm glad they did that. Mm-hmm. I like the way it ended. No, I'm not going to spoil anything.
Now if they would just give an announcement whether there's going to be more Altered Carbon. I'm afraid that show costs them too much, and I don't know if we're going to get another season.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they're going to sci-fi it. Like, sci-fi's ditching a lot of good TV shows because they cost too much to make.
So
then there'd be no nudity.
Lost in Space, anything else this week?
I'm just finishing up The Punisher. Yeah, I know it's been out a while, but I've been distracted with other things. Mm-hmm. So the nice thing is I get to put it on my phone and then just go to the gym, work out, Punisher's hour on the treadmill, and episode is done.
You haven't watched Punisher yet?
Oh. No, I started off, but then then I got distracted with other stuff, and then people were like, "Oh, it's kind of slow," but I've actually liked it.
It's well done. It's one of those shows that it does start a little slow, but the payoff is so good that it makes the slowness worth it. I think is a good way to describe Punisher.
I only got like 3 episodes left. So.
I haven't watched much this week, but I've been like very, very sick. Actually, I had a very nasty sinus infection early in the week. Couldn't talk for a couple days. You can still hear it in my voice some. So I was going to bed early, so I didn't watch as much trying to get rest. I did watch part of Mary and the Witch's Flower, which is the new film from Studio Ponoc, which is, I probably said that wrong, which is an offshoot. It's the guys that worked with Miyazaki at Studio Ghibli. And they formed their own studio, and this is their first film. And what I saw of it when I was watching it, and I was kind of cooking dinner, it was on. It's very derivative of what they've done at Studio Ghibli. It's well animated, and it was well done, but it just felt too much a ripoff of Studio Ghibli. So hopefully that studio is able to find their own form eventually, you know, because it's still one. I think it's wonderful that there are studios like that that are still making traditional animated stuff and hand-drawn animation with, you know, they use some CGI for the backgrounds and stuff, but it's so well done, It looks amazing to see classically. I'm starting to really appreciate classically animated stuff now after 15, 20 years of CGI animation, and it's refreshing to still see studios doing that classic stuff.
I still love stop animation.
Well, there's very little bit of that done, except for Studio Laika, which basically, I guess they had folded under after Kubo and the Two Strings, which is an amazing movie. But I think they just got bought, so it looks like they're going to be able to make more films from Studio Laika, so hopefully we get more from them, because Kubo and the Two Strings is one of the best animated films in the last 20 years.
And that's one thing I think with all this CGI stuff is that a lot of great art forms are being lost, like that and puppet, you know.
Speaking of puppets, though, did you see the Happy Time Murders trailer?
No.
Where it's basically puppets are being murdered. And it's got what's the fat lady's name from Ghostbusters?
Oh.
Really? Why does that
McCarthy,
do
Melissa McCarthy.
The lady I can't stand. I just want to punch her. I think she's terrible. She's in it, but it looks legitimately kind of funny. And it's definitely a dark rated R film where these Muppets are being murdered. And it's actually directed by Brian Henson, you know, Jim Henson's son, who made several other Muppet movies. And so it looks kind of funny. You should check out the trailer if you haven't seen it.
Wow.
And, so what studio is releasing it? Jim Henson Studio?
I'm not sure, actually. I don't know.
Have you messed up, you know, cameos from Kermit the Frog?
Kermit the Frog here.
Then they go into a place and there's like frog legs on the table and they're like, no, Kermit!
So Kermit! Before we get into the adventures of Buckaroo Banzai, Thursday night, we saw Deadpool 2. The crew went to see it.
Yes.
And, you know, I know Matt feels like I'm hating on the movie. I'm not hating on the movie. Like, there's things I legitimately liked about the movie, and I found it entertaining. And we are going to go into spoiler territory here. So if you haven't seen Deadpool 2 yet, hit pause, come back later, whatever. But not that there's a whole... I don't know. To me, there's not a whole lot to spoil about this movie. You know what you're walking into when you see Deadpool.
Yeah.
It has one of the best post-credit scenes ever. That was legitimately really funny.
Yeah.
It's got some good moments in it. I think Cable was really cool. I think Domino was really cool, and people weren't sure how Domino was going to turn out. But to me, I felt like I was watching the same movie that I already saw in part one. It was even structured the same. With the opening scene, then it flashes back to see how we got there. Some of the very, very similar setups for jokes. And when I was texting you, I said, oh, it has the same jokes. I didn't mean the same literally. I just meant the same setups. And the first one with his hand growing back, and this one with his legs growing back. And to me, I just felt like I've watched all this before with some added funny moments. And that just, to me, I wanted more from it. I wanted more from one of the guys who directed John Wick. I was expecting maybe a different... I really was expecting a better movie. And I don't think this is a better movie than the first Deadpool. I think it's about the same, honestly. I don't think it goes above Deadpool 1 or... I don't even think it's underneath Deadpool 1. I think it's on kind of the same level. I think they're both about 6.5, 7s out of 10. That's just my personal opinion. But they're entertaining, but I don't think they're anywhere close to the echelon of a Black Panther, Infinity War, Winter Soldier, Dark Knight, or any of those movies. Mm-mm. I think this is still a second-tier comic book film, and that's just my opinion on Deadpool. And I think Ryan Reynolds still owns the role tremendously. I think he's good for it. And he grew on me. I wasn't a huge fan of him at first. I found him a little annoying with all his promotion in the first film. Yeah. You know, it's just like he was everywhere. But he's grown on me, and I like him in the role. And I'm one of the few people that supported him in Green Lantern. I didn't hate him in that role. I thought he was fine for Hal Jordan.
Yeah, I thought the movie, the ending of that movie sucked, but yeah, not Deadpool, but that was the only thing I hated about it. I liked him in that role.
It's funny how people dog Green Lantern now because we've had all these MCU movies that are so good, but Green Lantern has its moments in it that aren't that bad.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as Deadpool goes, I felt like it was kind of the same movie again, but there's moments it was cool seeing Cable on screen. I'm a longtime X-Men fan, so Cable on the big screen was really neat to see. And I'll let you guys talk about Deadpool 2 for a minute.
No, that's fair. I do feel the plot was stronger in the first one. You know, you had an origin story, and you know it was more of a revenge kind of thing. And I felt like, you know, maybe it was stronger than maybe this plot. See,
as much as I found the origin a little boring in the first one, I felt this plot was weaker. The kid storyline was so thin.
Yeah,
and
they just—he's a
kid. The kid was a terrible actor. He just wasn't very good on screen.
Yeah.
Like his pop culture references just didn't come across to me natural. It felt like forced. He felt like he was overacting. You know, where Ryan Reynolds does a great job just naturally delivering stuff because it's how he is in person. He's just a naturally funny guy. Go on.
But yeah, I agree with that as well. I thought it was cool that, and I didn't realize this, that Ryan Reynolds was the Juggernaut. I didn't realize that he gave his voice for the Juggernaut character. And I completely missed that until I saw a report afterwards.
Speaking of Juggernaut, Frank, and you were on my left side, Matt's on my right side. When he appears in the screen, man, I thought Matt shot a load in his freaking pants. He jumped up so high and he lets out this huge laugh and hurrah, and I was like, oh my God, who am I sitting next to? It's like, it freaked me out, man, for a minute. I thought I was going to have to jump on your lap or something, Frank. He jumped up so high.
I felt like this was the Marvel versus Capcom Juggernaut, you know?
You didn't know that's who the bad guy was?
Well, I had an idea.
A lot of strong rumors.
Yeah, I caught, like, on Facebook, I caught some of the Nerdist channel. And they basically spoiled it that most likely it was the Juggernaut,
okay,
just because of like speculations and everything that was going on. So that's why it was no big deal to me. I thought he looked cool on screen for the most part. Being, yeah. You know?
But yeah, I did feel his CGI, like Colossus looks really good on screen. But right. I felt Juggernaut CGI was a little... I think it's because they had real skin where Colossus is chrome.
Oh,
he
yeah.
Looked, Juggernaut looked a little... There were shots where he looked a little fake. But he was still cool to see him on the screen in like a realized version.
Did his right. butt crack look fake?
Yes.
Was that the...
Yeah, his cheeks were a little too firm.
Yeah,
too firm,
there wasn't yeah. enough hair on the ass. I felt yeah. like Juggernaut should have a hairy ass.
Yeah.
You know.
And,
he was lacking hair there. I did like some elements of the film, like, you know, Deadpool, you know, trying to, you know, being more of a friend than a friend of me. Whenever he, you know, pseudo-sacrificed himself, I guess. I thought that was different. And then, yeah, Cable was badass. The jokes, I thought the jokes were funny. Yeah. I thought overall the jokes were funnier, or maybe I'm getting confused because I feel like there was more jokes in this one.
I think that you're right. I think there is a lot more jokes. I also think that it tried a little too hard at times to me to make fun of other franchises, which to me is the easy route to go instead of make your own jokes.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, the lazy writing jokes in it, to me, why does that get a pass? You're making fun of yourself for being lazy, so you're admitting that you made a lazy movie, and I don't know, I don't get that self-serving humor, that meta humor, I guess. Maybe that's just me. Because to me, like, why does it get a pass for being lazy? Because it makes fun of itself? To me, it was right. kind of lazily written in some parts. Like, the timeline story was very simply written.
Well, that's what bugged me was the whole plot. The time travel plot is what I didn't like about the whole thing. You know how I feel about time travel. Mark's listened to me rattle on for...
If it's not a long time, it's not time travel, right?
Pretty much. Yeah. No, it just... It caused too many time paradox. I mean, its own storyline caused its own time paradox. If he saves... spoiler alert. If he saves his family... Then why did he ever travel back in time to begin with? If they were never dead. You see what I'm saying?
I don't know.
His wife and daughter died because of the kid as an adult. The kid turned into an adult, killed his wife and kid. So he travels back in time to stop the kid. Well, if he successfully stops the kid from killing his wife and daughter, they're never dead. He never has a reason to go back in time to stop him to begin with. Therefore, those events still happen. Same thing when... his wife gets killed by the gangster guy, the mob guy.
Mm-hmm.
He gets Cable's little time machine, goes back, saves his wife. Well, then the whole thing of him becoming a better man, helping the kid, and all that all came out of dreams sequences of when he died and was talking to her and the, you know, post life. Well, if she never died, the post life never happened. He never became a better man to try to even save the kid, so none of that shit. So basically, the whole damn movie never happened. Frank, if you think about it,
I think it's too much of a.
Basically, Deadpool 2 never happened. If we actually just think about it, Deadpool 2 never happened because every plot that drove this movie was fixed. Therefore, it never happened.
I always thought we were characters in a sim game, but. You know,
yeah,
that's
just
me.
My sim experience was I just kept picking up trash and making more trash and picking up trash, and I got bored and turned it off.
But it's an enjoyable film for what it is, you know. But I get Deadpool has legions of fans, and he's a very popular character. But like, I think hardcore Deadpool fans, and I'm going to include you in that category, Matt.
Yeah, Matt.
Overlook the film for more than they really are. They're decent comic films, but they are. Mid-level
but you know
at
what?
Best.
You know
they're
what?
Not
but here's what I have to say to Mark about this whole movie. Was he didn't like it because it wasn't what he expected it to be.
It's never going to be what we expected.
No, it's exactly what I expected to be. I had a feeling going into it.
Inside joke. Like, no. Whenever I crap on, you know, Last Jedi, Mark's always like, you just hate it because it's not what you expected it to be.
No, that has nothing to do with it. The Deadpool's exactly what I expected to be, and that's my problem with it, is I was hoping it'd be better than that. I knew it was going to
really
be.
You were hoping Deadpool would be better than that?
Well, I think we've come in a time now where we expect sequels to be better. Wouldn't y'all agree with that?
That's true.
I mean, most sequels now are better than the first. It used to be where sequels always sucked, you know, for years. And really, Spider-Man 2 and X-Men 2 kind of started off the modern era where sequels started getting better. And Indiana Jones and Empire Strikes Back aside, because those are
But the type of humor that's in this movie, you really expected it to get better?
Yeah. Nowadays, sequels are generally better than the first movie. And I think that's
it's
why...
It's like going to... Watching a Cheech and Chong movie and then, like, not expecting...
No, I'm not talking the humor. Movie overall. I expect it to be bigger and better.
But it's because of those jokes and that it failed.
The climax of this film was weaker than the climax in the first one with the giant... Oh, we're not supposed to call it a shield carrier, fighting Ajax and saving the girl and all that. It was big and explosive. And this was just kind of like Juggernaut beats up some stuff, they electrocute him, and it just sort of, it didn't have a huge ending. It almost felt like it had a lower budget because they spent all the money on cable traveling through time, you know? But,
time machines aren't cheap.
It's exactly what I expected, but at the same time, I expected more.
They spent all that budget
It's acceptable to expect more from sequels now. You know, because that's why we get sequels, so it can do bigger and better.
But I don't see it stopping a third from happening.
Oh, no.
Disney buys it out, then there probably won't be a third.
They did.
Well, not officially yet. Oh, okay. It's still in government talk. But
I mean, when it becomes official, I don't think... I just don't see Disney wanting to do a rated R movie.
I think they will.
I see them folding Deadpool over into the new universe, and it won't be...
No,
was it 18.6 million the first day?
One of the Disney CEOs already said that they will, if they are able to make this happen, that they will still consider characters like that. Because I think that Disney's not afraid.
You think they'll do a Punisher, an actually good Punisher?
Well, look what they're doing on Netflix now. That's all.
But I'm talking about if they brought it to the actual movie. Yeah. You know, they won't use the same actor, most likely.
Bro Punisher.
Oh, I don't know about that. John Bernthal's pretty popular.
I do like John Bernthal.
But y'all, real quick, I'm going back on the Punisher. We brought up Punisher before. I look at the three, the all four guys that have played the Punisher as the different artwork throughout the years of the Punisher. He's looked different throughout the years, so it's like no different, really. You know, what's his name actually fits the Warzone Punisher? He actually fits that look.
The guy from Rome?
Yeah, he actually fits that look. And, you know, they all kind of like have the looks depending on what one you're doing. So I'm saying, like, if we ever get another Wolverine, Hugh Jackman will always be our Wolverine. But if somebody else plays a role, you just look at him as a different drawn Wolverine.
Hardy Wolverine.
So, I mean, that's where you just kind of accept it in that fact.
Well, yeah, I mean, actors change over the years. I mean, it's just... There's going to come a time where we're going to probably have a different guy play Iron Man and Thor and Captain America. So, you know, it's just, it is what it is as we move forward.
But overall, Deadpool 2, good, not great, entertaining.
Still worth going to see.
Worth going to go see.
Right. And, I think that's a good way to put it. I don't think in my text a mistake that I hated. I didn't hate the movie. I don't know. I was just hoping to be better than part one. And it was about the same for me.
Yeah.
It was all, you know. And that's it. But at least I got to see Cable on the big screen. Now, if I can just get to see Cable interact with the X-Men, I'll be very happy eventually.
Yeah. And actually bring, like, the cool members of X-Force, Cable, and then get...
We need to get into Buckaroo, Bishop, but let's talk and all quick that. About the X-Force thing.
Uncanny X-Men.
Man, I'm sorry, but that was disappointing. They advertised on the trailers for X-Force, and they're all in the movie, but about 2 minutes. It was like... And here's a spoiler, they basically all die really quick.
Yeah.
For ridiculous reasons, despite the time travel thing in the end where they sort of come back. But I was just kind of like, really?
But that Brad was Pitt disappointing. Was a member of the X-Force for a little bit.
Yeah, see, cameos as the Vanisher. People don't, apparently you can see him in the film when the Vanisher dies.
He gets electrocuted. It's just a blank flash of him.
But that was kind of, I don't know, that was disappointing to me. It's like, that's it with the X-Force? You kill them all really quick?
Yeah.
But, oh well.
Okay. And then we had to debate on whether or not the scene in the mansion was stock footage or real footage of Beast and Quicksilver.
There's a little cameo in there. It was hard to tell whether that was really shot or not. Because it just seems like an awful lot of money to bring Nicholas Holt in and put him in the Beast makeup just for 5 seconds. So I wonder if they used stock footage or not.
I don't think they would have gone into great detail because it wasn't like a...
One thing for
role.
Sure, though, stay after the credits. The post-credits scene, that I'm not going to spoil. That's funny.
Yes.
I actually thought that was brilliantly done.
Yeah, it was well thought out, so to a degree.
All right, well, let's get into today's featured movie. 1984's The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai Across the Eighth Dimension, directed by W.D. Richer, starring Peter Weller, Jeff Goldblum, Christopher Lloyd, Ellen Barkin, and Clancy Brown, who was in the movie we did last week.
Yes.
Highlander. And, man, this film is very much the idea of a cult classic. Was a box office bomb when it came out. Critics didn't know what to make of it. There was even critics that called it ahead of its time, which it very much was.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's quirky, it's weird, it's sci-fi, it's comedy, it's all these genres in one. But it's cool as shit, too, in so many weird ways. Is that...
Yeah, no, I agree. It was funny because I always loved the movie. Then when I found out, like, when we started hanging out that you loved the movie, I was like, hell yeah. You know, finally somebody else that actually loves this movie that like I do.
It's a movie that requires what Stan Lee would call true believers to enjoy this film.
And this is one me and Frank grew up with. This is definitely a Saturday matinee movie. It used to come on cable channels or Fox 26, and you'd stop and watch it when it was on. I probably rented it on home video many times back in the day. I don't remember the first time I saw this years ago. You're the young one in the group, Matt. Was this your first experience with Buckaroo, or had you kind of been familiar with it before?
My first real experience. I mean, I remember like bits and pieces of it from like, I know watching it early 90s, probably my uncle had it on or something. And I just remembered the rocket car. And I think we talked about it like a week ago or a few weeks ago. And I was like, I just remember the rocket car. And that's it. You know, some rusty looking old, you know, rocket car.
A Ford pickup truck.
Ford pickup
truck. I'm surprised they didn't take the emblem of Ford off. That's what... Because nowadays they, you know, either take it off or put some black tape on it.
They would pay more for advertising.
Yeah.
I mean, this movie cost like $17 million to make in 1984, even despite a lot of low budget, kind of simple special effects in it. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't seen Buckaroo Banzai, the best way to describe it is that Buckaroo Banzai is played by Peter Weller, is a 80s Renaissance man. He's a musician, a neurosurgeon. He's
a physicist
and a martial artist and all this stuff. And
the movie starts off with him doing brain surgery.
Right.
Yep.
And he has a group called the Hong Kong Cavaliers, which is like his music group and his posse.
I mean, they have comic books.
Right.
It's crazy.
He has his own little universe. And so... Essentially, he's trying to break the time barrier, or the
interdimensional something barrier. And he crosses through a mountain
with his overthruster, and he goes into the eighth dimension. So he wakes up these aliens that I was aware of, and they're from Planet 10. And there's a red group and a black group of aliens, and the red group are the bad ones, right?
Yeah, Johns.
The Johns. And
I thought they were all Johns.
Well, they're all Johns.
They're all Johns.
But then in space is the black group. Who's orbiting above Earth,
which are also Johns,
who want to defeat the red ones to get their planet back because they've kind of taken over their planet via the eighth dimension. So they zap Buckaroo through a phone to make him be able to see the red aliens. And therefore, he realizes the aliens are among us, and the red ones want the overthruster so they can get out of the eighth dimension and take their planet over. The black ones just want to stop the red ones and get Planet 10 back. And it's really bizarre and weird and quirky. And Buckaroo and his gang get caught in this war. And he ends up, the black ones eventually get in contact with Buckaroo, let him know what's going on. It's very difficult to explain. But
the thing was, the black ones threatened to cause a nuclear war.
Basically sparked the Cold War.
Yeah, sparked the Cold War if Buckaroo didn't stop them.
So they're not exactly nice either. John Lithgow is in the film, who plays a competitive scientist of Buckaroo's.
That's brain is warped.
Who was trying to do the same thing, who's going crazy. But it turns out he's going crazy back in 1938 when he was trying to go through the eighth dimension. He gets stuck in between, and the aliens actually took over his body.
Yeah.
So for 50 years, his body's been taken over
by one of the
bad aliens. And he keeps telling him, like, no, my name isn't Dr. Lazaro, it's John... Renfro, or I can't remember. I have it written
down. I don't know. Something. But all I know is this. He's always trying to get a hold of John...
Big Booty.
John Big Booty.
So, it's hard to describe the synopsis of the film, but we're hoping most of you have seen it, if you're listening to this. But it's a really cool film, and like Frank was saying, in it, it has this incredible world building about it that nowadays, you would sometimes take three films to build this world.
Yes.
But Buckaroo has his own... Team Banzai patches and stickers on stuff. They have comic books on Buckaroo Banzai, and they have these hideouts all over the place that's their territory. And it's just this whole world is built around Buckaroo Banzai, and even the President of the United States knows who he is. He's famous through certain channels.
He had a former wife, and all of a sudden finds his
her twin sister.
Twin sister, yeah. Yeah. So it's
and then
it's
he has like followers that help will help him out if he calls for help.
Right.
All this stuff just exists. You know? Right. In this world.
But, you know, I pointed out to Mark that I think we were infiltrated by, you know, aliens from the eighth dimension. Because we both have Johns in our family that are very close to us. So
I have one in my pants. It's John's son.
Yeah, you just wish it was John Big Pooty. That also did sound very right, depending on how you... printed it. Was it John's son or Johnson?
Johnson.
Okay, Todd. So that's what makes you sound totally different so, there, buddy.
There's a connection between this movie and the movie we're doing at Compalooza. And W.D. Richter, who directed Buckaroo, wrote Big Trouble in Little China. And so in this movie, Buckaroo is this character that accepts everything that's happening around him. And he's so cool about it. He's calm, cool, collective. Nothing phases him. He's ready to take on a challenge at any turn. He has his guns ready. Mm-hmm. His Hong Kong Cavaliers, where Jack Burton, the movie we'll talk about at Compalooza, is also a calm, somewhat cool, well, not really to say calm, but a cool character, but doesn't accept everything that's going around him, but yet he sort of gets thrown into it in a weird way. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like two opposite ends of the spectrum from the same guy who directed and then wrote the next movie. And Buckaroo is a character that is a quirky, calm, cool character. And he's like the center point of the film, obviously. And you kind of watch this, and man, you kind of want to be as cool as him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. He sings a good version of Since I Don't Have You.
Right.
You know, it's a better version than what Axl Rose was able to do, I think.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you that. Who do you think was better?
Peter Weller. He takes the cake. So it's like outside of brain surgery, I think everything else he could probably do is as Buckaroo Banzai. Which it looks like this film was maybe inspired by Doc Savage from the 1930s.
Yeah.
He had a band of the Mystic Five or the Mystical Five. I think
it was
that was
like the Mystical Five. Yeah.
So, and then, you know, Buckaroo Banzai has his group of teammates, and
I think,
yeah,
like,
so
if they could keep it low budgeted enough to where they would stay on, but spend enough on it to make it fun, I think it would make a great TV series.
Well, there goes Frank jumping the gun. We're going to talk about that in a minute.
Oh, really?
Yes.
How do I jump a gun on something I didn't know?
But, unknowingly jump a gun. Right?
How do you jump a gun?
What's funny is, too,
jump a rope.
The whole, in 1938, of course, you know, Orson Welles, even in real life, did the radio broadcast of War of the Worlds, which freaked people out. People thought the aliens were invading.
Right. Yeah.
And they interlude this into this movie.
Exactly.
Whereas
yeah.
these aliens are among us were that broadcast.
Yes.
It was real. Apparently, they forced Orson Welles to broadcast War of the Worlds so people would think it's, or force him to tell it was fake, even though it was real. And they put, and they worked that into this film. So the reason these aliens are among us, these, what are the aliens
Lactoids.
Called? Lactoids. Is it Lactoids?
I could have sworn it was Lactoids.
Hold up.
Sounds like something you would take if you were constipated.
I need a lactaid? Is it lactaid?
I don't know, but it still sounds like something. Either you had an upset stomach.
Lectroids.
The Lectroids. And so they were amongst us in 1938 when the War of the Worlds, that was the invasion. I thought that was kind of a cool. And I guess back, I hadn't been some years since I'd watched it until recently. And it's funny, I watched this a few weeks ago because I was like, man, we need to do Buckaroo Banzai. And I came up with wanting to do it. And watched it again this week, of course, for the show.
It's been on Stars.
Yeah, and that was cool that mm-hmm. was part of the storyline, was the War of the Worlds story. Do you have a favorite sequence in the movie?
I like the rock scene. I feel like it's fun, and I feel like I'm watching Johnny B. Goode performance in Back to the Future. And all of a sudden he stops and he's like, "Someone here is not having fun." And I'm like, "What are you talking about, Buckaroo?" And he's like, "What's your name?" And she's like, "Pretty Penny." And I'm like,
"And they can't get her name original. Right."
Yeah. Did you say Peggy?
Yeah.
No.
What was it? It turned out Peggy was his wife, right? Yeah.
His wife's twin.
Right.
And no matter where you go, there you are.
And apparently there's some cut scenes from the film that explained his wife a little bit more, I think. And there's a whole prequel that was shot that with Jamie Lee Curtis as his mother. And I think it's on one of the old DVDs. It might be on the DVD version you have. I don't know.
Maybe.
But it was like a deleted scene that they had cut.
Oh, wow.
So there, and then there was also this whole other bad guy he had called, I just had it in front of me and I'm going to lose it.
But while you're looking at the bandit group that he had to fight.
You know what's funny is you brought up the scene with her. Like, one of the scenes I thought was funny is, like, she went to jail and he got her out of jail and they were having, like, a press conference.
Mm-hmm.
And while he was talking and all that and doing, you know, his thing, she looked like she was getting all hot and bothered by it, like, you know, like, turned on.
There's a lot of references to that in the movie where she gives him these looks, like, of lust.
Yeah. I was like, damn, this girl's just, like, falling for him hard.
And in the original script, he had an arch enemy named Hanno Zahn, who's never seen in the movie, but it was supposed to set up the sequel that we never got.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the movie, it says Buckaroo Return in Buckaroo Banzai vs. World Crime League. And the studio, Sherwood Studios, had planned on making the sequel, but then when the film bombed, it never got made.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were rumors for years of the sequel happening. The rights got tied up. MGM finally bought the rights to at least release it on DVD. This was a late DVD release. It didn't come out until like 2002 on DVD. It just came out on Blu-ray about a year ago, finally.
It could have well fallen into that line of, like, Rad. Well,
it would have become public domain. Then yeah. Maybe we would have gotten a sequel made. But MGM did hold on to the rights for it. And now it's starting to kind of make a comeback. And talk about the TV idea. There was an idea back in the 90s for a TV show version of it by CBS or one of the studios. But it never went anywhere. It was going to be like a weekly show where Buckaroo went on adventures. It didn't even get in the script form or nothing. It was just an idea thrown around. But in 2016, Kevin Smith had treatments written for it where he was going to bring it back as a television show and was ready to sell it. And it almost happened. It might have been a Netflix show and all this. But MGM pulled back on it because they end up showing no interest in doing anything with it right now, and they hold the rights. And Kevin Smith has said, as of recently, that he would still come on board if it ever happens. But apparently now it's completely died here in 2018. Just recently, Kevin Smith has said that it's not going to happen, which is unfortunate because...
I think they're missing out on a good opportunity to bring back something old and make it fresh.
Well, and
I think in today's society it would really work. It would be fun.
Especially after the success of Cobra Kai, it shows that there's a market out there for nostalgia. And nostalgia is a big deal right now overall. I think Buckaroo Banzai, you know, I get a little tired of remakes and reboots, but I think this is a movie that could be remade.
Oh, I do too.
And well done, and not necessarily a TV show. I think a TV show could work for it, but I think
even in a movie.
I also could see a new movie version of this, you know.
And I think their formula could be a formula for like these new superhero movies where we don't have, like you said, we don't have to have three movies explain right. What one movie entrails.
One movie doesn't have to necessarily set up the next movie.
Yeah, it could just be there. You know, it's like we could make
a one-off.
You know, like Carnage. We make a Carnage movie where he's just a symbiote. You don't have to tell an origin story. And then you can add details like Doctor Strange.
Well, the thing was, is the opening credits basically tell you who he is.
Right.
Yeah. And then boom, you're into the movie. He's doing brain surgery. Mm-hmm. You already know he's a brain surgeon, so when he's there doing brain surgery, you're like, oh, he's a brain surgeon.
Yep.
You didn't need to like go see him at school, you know, graduate, you know, college and all this other stuff.
Exactly.
And, you know, and Buckaroo has recently in Ready Player One, his costume appears in it.
Yeah.
And Ernest Cline it's his favorite movie, wrote Ready Player One. And he actually wrote a fan script based on Buckaroo for a sequel. And that's kind of how he got his start as a writer.
Hmm.
And so he's helped lead the way for a Buckaroo to make a comeback. And I think this is one of those characters. I just think there's no way he stays down. I think we'll get a Buckaroo of some form one day.
But here's what's great about Buckaroo. He is, in a sense, not like super, but he's like a superhero without having superpowers.
Right.
I mean, basically we have a superhero movie here before the superhero movies.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just a really, man, I really like this movie a lot. It's a fun, fun movie, and I'm glad that I recently rediscovered it. I forgot how much I enjoyed it watching as a kid. And it's a character that I would love to see come back in some form. You know, there are comic books out there. In fact, I didn't realize how many comics have been done in recent years, like last 3 or 4 years. There's a studio that got the rights. And at Comp Palooza this weekend, I'm going to go through some of these dollar bins and see if I can find some of these Buckaroo comics.
That wouldn't be too bad.
So, if you know, we normally don't do recasting on the show because our boys over at Matinee Heroes, Craig and Allen, which it's funny, they're fixing to do this movie too because I
really?
Talked to Craig. They do recasting.
We did it first.
They do recasting, but who today would play Buckaroo, do y'all think?
Oh, crap. I have no clue. I'd have to sit there and go through like a whole bunch of like people. Like, I'm kind of on the spot right now. I just have to sit there and think of
Ryan Gosling?
Too serious. Even though he can play quirky.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this too. It is tough because Peter Weller does such a good job. And who is like. And this may sound a little strange, but I was thinking like maybe like Chris Pine. Yeah, I could see him. You know, doing it, putting on a suit and doing it. I was thinking like maybe not a high level actor, but maybe a mid level actor like that. Could do the role.
Somebody that people recognize that isn't going to break the
bank account. As much as I'm tired of Chris Pratt, I think Chris Pratt could pull off Buckaroo Banzai.
Yeah, Chris Pratt.
He has that quirkiness to him. You know, he does it with Star-Lord.
Yeah, he does.
And I don't know, but I would love to see this character make a comeback on the big screen or even the small screen. Even if they were to do a Netflix show, I'd watch the shit out of it.
Yeah, me too.
You know, I think it'd be great.
As long as it kept in the tradition of what the movie was.
Right.
The character in the movie and the stories.
And that's the thing.
As long as they didn't try to change it.
I love how the aliens talk like us. They just talk normal.
Yeah.
They even make jokes like, you know, and stuff.
Well, they also been here for a long time. They've been here since 19.
And you're right. I don't want them to make it. I don't mind if they CGI the aliens. Obviously, they're going to do that nowadays. But don't make them dark and scary. You know?
Right. They ain't got to have, like, tentacles and predator faces and stuff.
You can maybe make one of them darker, like the evil ones, and then but make the ones that want to, like, stop the other ones, even though they threaten us with nuclear war, make them a little more quirky and like us. You know, there's ways you can do a remake and modernize it, but yet keep the quirkiness and the world building that is in this movie.
Yeah, they kind of look like Admiral Akbar and Bossk had a baby, and then it got birthed early before its head could grow even bigger. That's what it looks like to me, like a mix between whatever dinosaur Bossk is and then whatever amphibian dude Admiral Akbar is. It's like they took those two, they mixed them together, and that's how you got the Lectroids.
And before we finish up, Buckaroo, man, the cast in this film, man, it's like a really good early 80s who's who going into late 80s. And like Jeff Goldblum is cool.
These are all people, like a lot of them blew up in the late 80s, early 90s.
Goldblum plays a character called New Jersey,
mm-hmm.
who dresses like he's a cowboy.
Yeah. Who's a brain surgeon.
Who's a brain surgeon. Goldblum owns it in this.
And technically, doesn't his character write the theme song?
I can't remember.
Because before I came here, I was watching, and he was sitting at a piano. You could hear the hints of the theme song that he was like playing on the keyboard and writing down.
Could be. Clancy Brown, of course, who went on to play the Kurgan and do lots of TV stuff, is in it.
Love that guy.
Ellen Barkin, she had a decent career. She plays Penny.
Mm-hmm.
Who else am I forgetting? Oh, John Lithgow, of course, who's went on to amazing career as an actor.
Who was the other big name bad guy that was
Christopher
in?
Lloyd.
Christopher Lloyd, yeah.
Christopher Lloyd. In it, who,
Doc.
And so, you know, just a great cast in this movie. And Peter Weller, it's amazing, man. Weller went on to do RoboCop and do Scanners. Was he in Scanners?
He was in Scanners.
Yeah. And he, man, it's almost like, why was Peter Weller's career not bigger, man? He's such a cool actor, you know?
Yeah.
I love him, man. He's
just chose to do some other stuff.
Yeah. And so I ask you guys to pick your three favorite oddball quirky characters in cinema or television or whatever. Before we talk about it, any final thoughts on the adventures of Buckaroo Banzai across the eighth dimension?
No, I mean, I enjoyed it. Finally watching the whole thing.
Fun movie.
It's like, you know, whenever he gets caught out in the marshes, the Lectroid's like, hey, it's Buckaroo Banzai.
Yeah, it's like everybody knows him. Hey, now, let me add.
Aliens land with the comic book.
Right. I bet Jackie didn't watch this, though, did she?
She did not. She would not watch it.
This is one that I think is too weird for the wise.
Yeah.
Because you have to really be into, like, weird sci-fi like we are to enjoy this.
They used milk to cool down their ship.
Yeah.
I mean.
Got milk? Yeah. I need to cool down my ship. That's what I was asking.
No final thoughts from either. Just a fun film, man, and I'm glad I've kind of, not that I went away from it, but I'm glad I'm rediscovering, and I hope more people rediscover it with some of the small popularity it seems to be regaining. And I've heard the new Blu-ray release is amazing. I want to buy it. It's about $20 on Amazon, so I'm hoping I can get an extra $20 and order it, because it's a Shout Factory limited release, and once it goes out of print, it's going to shoot up in price. So I want to grab a copy of it before too long.
The old DVD, so.
So yeah, good fun film. So what are you? What are three? I asked you guys to think of two or three characters that are your favorite that go along with Buckaroo Banzai as quirky oddball characters. You got one, Frank, off the top of your head, or did you do a little list?
But
Tick.
No, actually, I didn't do a list. It's like I forgot. I'll be honest with you, but just like in general,
yeah,
from throughout movies.
I would have to say, or television, or
I have to say one of my favorite oddball characters is Doc from Back to the Future.
I have Doc on my list too.
It's like my favorite character.
When I'm watching
like oddball stuff, I just love watching Doc. Watching
Buckaroo Banzai, because Christopher Lloyd's in, I immediately thought of Doc Brown, and you know me, I'm not as big of a Back to the Future fan as you are. I like the movie.
I love the hell out of Back to the Future.
I like the movies, but like I probably wouldn't if I did 10 lists of favorite trilogies. I don't know if they'd be in my top 10.
Oh, it'd be in my top 5.
Maybe up
maybe
there.
Probably but, number one.
But I do.
I'll be honest with you. Okay, take it back. Four through six, Star Wars, and then Back to the Future.
Over Indiana Jones and Lord of the Rings?
Yeah.
Really? I don't know.
But because then I would do Indiana Jones and then Lord of the Rings.
I do enjoy Back to the Future. I do like him. And Doc Brown's such a great, oddball, quirky character. It's Christopher Lloyd's iconic role. And that's he's on my list. Matt, do you have one?
That's funny. Is like I just rewatched Lord of the Rings this past week, like the whole trilogy.
Wow, somebody did have some spare time.
Yeah,
on their hands.
I just been
the
watching
extended editions.
The extended editions.
Oh shit!
Yeah.
You didn't tell us that or download this.
Yeah, I know. I forgot.
Who was it? Download this because that would have taken forever to download. It was just like play it.
And I guess one of my favorite oddball characters from there is Peregrine Took. I like Took. Yeah. He's a lazy, quirky, smart ass that gets into trouble, and he's really good for the story.
Yeah, that's fair. I put Data on here from Star Trek: The Next Generation.
Okay.
I think just a great. He's an android, obviously, but he develops a personality over years of watching Star Trek on TV, and
try to become human.
Yeah, and I haven't seen every episode of Next Generation. I'm by no means a Star Trek expert, but I know enough about it and was to appreciate the character they made Data over the years, like how he would his quirkiness, his oddballness when things would happen and he didn't know how to accept it, you know, like
or his response should be,
or how his response should be, and just. A very well-written character over the years for Star Trek was Data, and the way that those writers dealt with this android dealing with humanity, and some genuinely funny moments with Data over the years.
And I know a lot of actors hate getting locked into a particular character they've done, but when you do a character so well,
right?
You know,
Brett Spinner is at Compalooza this year.
Yes, so. Nice tie-in.
Yeah. Do you guys have any more? Because I have one more on my list. Because I actually did my list.
Go for it.
I forgot.
Yeah, I forgot my list, too.
Y'all shoot 30 texts while I'm still at work, like at 7 o'clock in the morning.
The last one is an obvious pick. It's Oddjob from Goldfinger. Can't talk about odd characters and not have Oddjob on there. I mean, the original James Bond henchman kind of guy, you know? Throws his hat and, you know, and he's one of the most memorable Bond villains ever. I think most people, when they think of five Bond villains, are going to have Oddjob on there. So that's my last quirky character, you know. So that's it.
So, what did he do?
He throws his hat.
The hat.
But what was his job?
He was a henchman for Goldfinger.
Yeah. So he just did a bunch of odd jobs.
Just like random task from Austin Powers.
Oh, okay.
There wasn't much news this week. You know, I was skimming news this morning. It really, you know, we always go, oh, it's kind of a slow news week. And I'm trying not to say that on the show anymore. But it really was a slow news week this week, which it always is in Hollywood the week before a holiday. I swear, because Memorial Day is on, well, no, it's not even a week before a holiday yet. That's next Monday's Memorial Day.
Yeah.
But it seems like Hollywood takes a week off before a holiday. Mm-hmm. But really, so Cartoon Network announced a new Thundercats animated series called Thundercats Roar. And it's going to be a comedy more for kids. And, man, fanboys are freaking out. They're all like, oh, man, you're ruining my childhood. You're ruining my Thundercats. Dude, no one ruined your Thundercats, okay? You're a grown man.
Your Thundercats still exist. Go watch them.
You're probably not going to watch it anyways unless you have children. Or you might watch it out of curiosity. Or you complain about it and you will watch it because you're curious, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's cool, man. I'm all for it. The stuff we grew up with, I'm all for our children or new generations discovering it.
Your kids love Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Right. And if this is the way they discover Thundercats, I'm all for it. You know, I think we should never diss anyone's ideas of how they bring things back to people. And I'm cool with it, you know?
I mean, seriously, if they changed Power Rangers and then Jake started watching the new Power Rangers, you wouldn't flip out, would you?
Well, maybe
I just looked at this face of like, they better not fuck with my Power Rangers.
I'm not a big Power Rangers person, so it's like,
the I only swear, Power Rangers... I swear, if a dude is wearing the pink costume.
The only Power Rangers that ever existed were the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, and it died after the movie in 1997. And that's when the Power Rangers died.
He had a little funeral.
Took that personal.
It's true.
He buried all the figures under his, technically now his backyard. His dad built the patio over it.
Well, before we finish the show, let's preview the show we're doing at Compalooza, the movie. We are doing John Carpenter's Big Trouble in Little China.
This is Jack Burton in the Pork Chop Express, and I'm talking to whoever's listening out there. It's a pretty amazing planet we live on here, and a man'd have to be some kind of fool to think we're all alone in this universe.
There is a hidden world where ancient evil weaves a modern mystery.
What's going on here? Is this some kind of...
magic. The darkest magic.
They call it Little China.
Finally, we shall bring order out of chaos.
It's where Big Trouble was waiting for Jack Burton.
Who? Jack Burton. Me.
Jack.
Jack.
Jack!
They told him to go to hell.
You make one move.
And that's just where he's going.
Somebody, I don't care who, tell me what is going on.
How are you gonna spring us?
I have no idea.
There are many mysteries, many unanswerable questions, even in a life as short as yours.
My destiny rests in your capable hands.
Hey, I'll do my best.
Oh, God, is this really happening?
This is gonna take Cracker Jack timing, Wang.
One, two, three.
She may be trapped.
Total concentration.
Safety.
Yeah.
You ready, Jack?
I was born ready.
Way to go, Jack.
Jack Burton's coming to rescue your summer.
Hey, what more can a guy ask for?
20th Century Fox presents Kurt Russell in John Carpenter's Big Trouble in Little China.
On the reflexes.
This movie, man, this is top 10 favorite movies of all time.
Yeah. It's definitely my favorite China movie right after A Night in China.
Would that have a 3X rating on it?
I think so.
Really? See, I haven't seen that one, but I've been trying to look for it.
Jack Burton's one of the coolest characters in cinema ever. Man, Kurt Russell owns this role.
Yes.
One of my favorite movies growing up. Mary thinks it's stupid. Wives don't understand Big Trouble in Little China.
Yeah.
Man, this movie is just fucking awesome.
It's one of his most two iconic roles.
Very iconic. And he brought back the trucker hat.
Yeah.
With this film. He did.
Y'all's thoughts? Y'all ready to talk about Big Trouble Little China Compalooza?
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it anymore because we want to save it all for the next show.
Obviously his character is just awesome in this film. He's, you know, his non-understanding of what's going on around him is what makes him so cool. His obliviousness, he uses that to create a great character. That's very memorable. And we'll definitely talk way more about it next week.
Yeah, we'll be recording live at Compalooza on Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock at the podcast booth. We're going to be talking Big Trouble in Little China live from Compalooza 2018. Always a fun time. And we're going to have a lot going on next week. We're going to have this show. We are going to try to work it out where maybe we do a sideshow at Compalooza from the hotel or whatever.
Yeah.
Because me and Matt are seeing Solo on Thursday night. So we might do a little side review show of that. So, because we want to really pump it out at Compalooza. Frank, calm down. So Frank
no. Y'all have y'all your kids with you. And Frank, I would have, like, you know, even though I'm not really that, like, interested in seeing it, like, it'd still be cool to hang out with you guys. Then Matt told me how much he spent on the tickets, and I'm like, not that cool.
And so we're going to have a lot of stuff going next weekend. So keep an eye on our social media channels for everything we have going at Compalooza. We're going to have tons of photos. Mm-hmm. We're going to be tweeting out shit. We're going to have the live show. This Thursday night, look for a special episode of Remnants of the Rebellion, which is the Star Wars podcast we did a year ago. And we have a special Remnants episode coming out on the night Solo releases in theaters. So look for that to release Thursday. And go to therebelradiopodcast.com. Buy a shirt from us. Support the show.
Yes.
That'd be cool.
New shirt is out.
Yeah, new shirt is out. Find us at Comic Palooza. Oh, also, our YouTube channel, Comics with Arnold, is launched.
Yes.
It's really funny. Our buddy Arnold's doing a great job with it. Have you talked to Arnold? Is there a new episode coming this week?
It's, you know, he says he's working on it. He told me that he was trying to get a clone to do it or something, like his clone from The Sixth Day. So, I guess Hollywood actually lent him, like, a stunt double and told him that it was a clone or something. Okay. I don't know.
So it should be a new episode coming this week then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, at least it's clone.
He tried to get the T-1000 model to do it, but it just kept going, I'll be back.
So look for that new episode of Comics with Arnold later this week. There's two episodes up already, and they're really funny. So check that out on our YouTube channel. And you can find it all at therebelradiopodcast.com. So thank you, as always, for listening. We look forward to seeing you all at Compalooza. Don't forget, come find us for the raffle. This has been Mark.
This is Matt.
Frank.
And we will see you at Compalooza 2018 this weekend. Have a good week, everybody. Just go there and do it.
Hey, Headbangers. This is Rudy Sarzo, and you're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast at TrustMeI'mAJedi.com.
This is James O'Barr on Rebel Radio. Thanks for listening.